Good evening, and I welcome all of you here in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's been 3 years since I was called to be a priest of our Lord and Savior, and the day that I was called, I was told that I was to preach and teach faith, repentance, and baptism unto his children. So tonight, we're going to work on faith. I'd like you to get out your Book of Mormons and turn to the Book of Ether, the fifth chapter. And incidentally, I don't know where the young bride is at, but they're supposed to be here already. Of course, they are Denims and Sprague's mixed together, so they know they're supposed to be on time, but of course, there's that genetic defect that is causing them to be late. The fifth chapter of the Book of Ether, the sixth verse, says, "And now I, Moroni, would speak somewhat concerning these things. I would shew unto the world that faith is things which are hoped for and not seen." Now, in the Bible it says just a little bit different, but not very different. Turn to Hebrews, the 11th chapter. And we're going to start at the first verse. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." Okay, so faith is something that you have to hope for and believe in, even though you can't see it. So how do you get it? Well, did you come here this evening because you were hoping to hear the Word of God preached here? Did you have faith that you would hear the Word of God preached here? Some of you are saying yes, and some of you are saying you're hoping. Well, I came here with both, hoping and having faith that it would be preached here this evening. So it was something that you couldn't see, but you were hoping for. Some people have this faith, and some people don't. Some people don't understand what it is. Some people think that you have to have a mountain of faith or a whole wheelbarrow full of faith in order to get your prayers answered. Some people think that you have to have mighty and strong faith in order to get your prayers answered. Well, yes and no. Let's go to Numbers. And we're going to read about some people that had some faith and some people that didn't have faith. It's going to be the 13th chapter of Numbers. And here's a whole group of people. There's about 1.5 million of them gathered together in this one spot. And some of them had faith and some of them didn't. I'm going to start at the 13th chapter of Numbers, the first verse. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them." Okay, so there's going to be 12 men sent to go search the land. And these are men that are upstanding men. Men that are looked up to in their tribes. Most of them are fairly young, but not, they're not teenagers or anything. But they are men of good report, that you would expect to understand the things of God, and that you would expect to do what's right. These are leaders of their tribes, men that are looked up to. So what'd they do? Well, let's go down to the 17th verse. So they picked out 12 men, and in the 17th verse says, "And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, Get you up this way southward, and go up into the mountain, and see the land what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not. And be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, as men come to Hamath." So here they went. They went and they were checking it all out, these guys. And they were courageous. And they went out and they spied out this land. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, as men come to Hamath. And they ascended by the south and came unto Hebron, where Ahiman, Shishai, and Talmai, the children of Anak, were. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. So it's a fairly established town. And they came unto the brook of Eshcol, and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes. And they bare it between two upon a staff, and they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. So here they come back after they spied out the land, and they're bringing back this humongous cluster of grapes that got to carry on a pole between two guys, and a whole bunch of pomegranates and figs. So they did what Moses told them to do. They went and they spied out the land, all of it. And they're bringing back the fruit that he told them to bring. The place was called the Brook of Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And Eshcol means a cluster of grapes. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and shewed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, "We came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it." So they went and they did what they were supposed to do. But God had told these people that this was going to be their land. So they weren't just going to go and spy out the land and find out what was in it. They were supposed to go and spy out the land and get ready to go into it and take control of this place. And these guys were courageous, you know, spies. Nevertheless, the 28th verse, this is what the guys said when they came back to the people. "Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan." Man, the place is overrun with giants and all kinds of people, and it's full of people, and yeah, it's got good stuff in it. It's a great place to live, but it's full of giants. So here's these guys, and they're telling the people all this stuff. But one guy, his name's Caleb, 30th verse, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Hey, come on, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." God's on our side. He promised us this is going to be our place. Now, come on, let's go. So did they? Nope. But the man that went up with him said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, "The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight." Don't go. We're not going to make it because we have no faith. We have no faith in God and what He's told us to do. Sure, we were courageous to go spy, but we don't want to have to go there because we don't want to die, because we don't think God's going to be able to protect us. Let's go to the 14th chapter. "And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night." So the people, all these 1.5 million people are throwing a fit. And you would think that not just Caleb, but you would think that Moses and Aaron would stand up and say, "Come on, let's go." Did they? Nope. Second verse. "And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, 'Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be prey? Were not better for us to return into Egypt?' And they said one to another, 'Let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt.'" So what did Moses and Aaron do when they said this? Fifth verse. "Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel." They were crying. I think they were ashamed of the people. They might have been praying, but they didn't encourage the people to go up into the land. It was just Caleb and one other guy named Joshua. Sixth verse. "And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes." They couldn't believe what all of their families had just done. That they had lost their faith. That they had no faith. That they didn't believe that God was going to do what God said He was going to do. Because they just couldn't see it in their minds. They just couldn't grasp a hold of it with their imagination and believe in something that they couldn't see and say, "Yeah, we can go do this because we are the chosen people of God." "And they spake unto all," Joshua and Caleb, seventh verse, "and they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, 'The land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then He will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel." Joshua and Caleb had faith in something they couldn't see. I believe those men were taught well by their mothers. Apparently their dads were lacking in a little bit of faith because their dads didn't stand up with them. So what happened? Well, let's go to the 26th verse. All the people are refusing to go. And God wants to wipe everybody out. But Moses convinces him not to kill everybody because everybody around this area knows who they are and knows that God has brought them this far. And even though God can raise up a whole new group of Israelites, Moses convinces him not to do it because it'll look bad in front of the eyes of the rest of the world. So God says, okay, I'm not going to kill them just yet, but I am going to kill them. And they're not going to go up into my promised land. 26th verse. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me, you're going to fall. Doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun, the ones that had faith in something they couldn't see. But your little ones, which he said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. After the number of the days in which ye search the land, even 40 days, each day for a year shall ye bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. I, the Lord, have said, I will surely do it unto all this evil congregation that are gathered together against me. In this wilderness they shall be consumed, and there they shall die. Because you just didn't even have, not just a half a wheelbarrow of faith, you didn't have any faith. And the men which Moses sent to search the land, who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against him by bringing up a slander upon the land, those guys that had no faith at all in the beginning and caused everyone to lose their faith, even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land died by the plague before the Lord. Not only did they cause all this problem and cause the house of Israel to wander in the wilderness for 40 years and every one of them died that was over the age of 20 except for Caleb and Joshua. Those guys died of the plague right there in front of God. Because they took away even the hope of having a little bit of faith from everyone else by their evil report. Negativity. No belief in the things that God has promised He will do for us. Let's go to Alma and read about some other guys, young men that had faith, and see what they did with their faith. This is one of Trevor's favorites. And I was sure he was going to go there and keep going this morning, but fortunately he stopped. Let's go to the 26th chapter of Alma. I'm going to start in the 50th verse and read a little bit, and then we're going to go a little bit further and read some more. Now, most of us know who these men are. Some of us don't. But there was a group of men that had been taught by their mothers to believe in God and to have faith in the promises that He has made to mankind. In that He will keep these promises if we have faith in Him and keep His commandments. So these guys had been brought up by their mothers like Joshua and Caleb. And they'd been brought up right. And their faith was strong. The 50th verse. And it came to pass that again when the light of the morning came, we saw the Lamanites upon us. Here's 60, something like that, of these young men that had been taught by their moms to be faithful and strong and not just have courage, but be strong in their faith to God. And they're getting ready to have this big battle. And it came to pass that again, when the light of the morning came, we saw the Lamanites upon us, and we did flee before them. But it came to pass that they did not pursue us far before they halted. And it was in the morning of the third day on the seventh month. And now, whether they were overtaken by Antipas, we knew not. And that's another group of their army. We knew not, but I sent unto my men, behold, we know not, but they have halted for the purpose that we should come against them, that they might catch us in their snare. Therefore, what say ye, my sons? Will ye go against them to battle? This is their leader asking them, what do you think, guys? Think it's a trap? Or do you think that God's going to protect us like he promised, like your moms said he would? And now I say unto you, my beloved brother Moroni, that never had I seen so great courage, nay, not amongst all the Nephites. For as I had ever called them my sons, for they were all of them very young, even so they said unto me, Father, behold, our God is with us, and he will not suffer that we shall fall. Then let us go forth. We would not slay our brethren if they would let us alone. Therefore, let us go, lest they should overpower the army of Antipas. These guys were ready. They knew in their hearts that even though they couldn't see him, that God was there with them because he promised. And that's all they needed to know. He promised. They had faith. Now, they never had fought, yet they did not fear death, and they did think more upon the liberty of their fathers than they did upon their lives. Yea, they had been taught by their mothers that if they did not doubt, that God would deliver them. Taught to have faith. And they rehearsed unto me the words of their mother, saying, we do not doubt our mothers knew. And it came to pass that I did return with my 2,000 against these Lamanites who had pursued us. And now, behold, the armies of Antipas had overtaken them, and a terrible battle had commenced. So they went back to get these guys, and they had already been overtaken by their other side of their army, and a battle was going on. Let's go down to the 64th verse. And now it came to pass that we, the people of Nephi, the people of Antipas, and I with my 2,000 did surround the Lamanites and did slay them, yea, insomuch that they were compelled to deliver up their weapons of war and also themselves as prisoners of war. And now it came to pass that when they had surrendered themselves up unto us, behold, I numbered those young men which had fought with me, fearing lest there were many of them slain. But behold, to my great joy, there had not one soul of them fallen to the earth. Yea, and they fought as if with the strength of God. Yea, never were men known to have fought with such miraculous strength. And with such mighty power did they fall upon the Lamanites that they did frighten them. And for this cause did the Lamanites deliver themselves up as prisoners of war. And as we had no place for our prisoners that we could guard them to keep them from the armies of the Lamanites, therefore we sent them to the land of Zarahemla and a part of those men which were not slain of Antipas with them. Now in this battle there were 1,000 men of the Nephite army that died. But not one of those young men died because they had faith. And they did not doubt. Did they have a bucket full or a wheelbarrow full? Nope. Doesn't take that much. Let's go to Matthew 17th chapter. How is it that these guys could do these things, this miraculous army fought this other army? These guys had never fought anybody, and they fought so hard, so strong, that they caused these guys to freak out with fear and give up. How much faith did they have? 14th verse of the 17th chapter of Matthew. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic and sore vexed, for oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, so they came up to Jesus on the side and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. Okay. So those guys, those 2,060 young men, and Caleb and Joshua, they had that much faith. A grain of a mustard seed. That's all it took. It's not a lot. Okay, now these guys that were trying to throw out this devil out of this kid, they didn't have any faith, but they also didn't know that they were supposed to be praying and fasting because they are the disciples of Christ. And that's what the ministry is supposed to do. We're supposed to pray and fast and be continually ready to fight against Satan. Because we don't know when he's going to come at us and take control of somebody with a spirit and cause them to have all kinds of problems. We don't know when we're going to be needed to be able to do this that Christ did. But it will happen. It has happened. So we have to be prepared, not only with the right amount of faith, but we have to be prepared spiritually. Let's go to James, second chapter. All of this faith that these people have done has been shown to the world and to us by their actions. I'm going to start at the 14th verse of the second chapter of James. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? So if I say that I have as much faith as these Nephite boys, or as much faith as Caleb and Joshua, but I don't show it through my works, is it going to do me any good? It's not going to do me any good at all. I can say I have as much faith as it would take. I could say I have a wheelbarrow full of faith, and it isn't going to do me any good if I've never proved it through my actions. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? If you haven't done any action, you haven't done anything except say, well, I hope you get warm and feel like you've eaten. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Shew me thy faith without thy works, and I will shew thee my faith by my works. You might say you have faith, but I can prove to you that I have faith by my works, that I have exercised my faith in my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and he has blessed me with all the things that he has ever done for me. Not destroyed me with a plague, helped me cross the river into the promised land, kept me alive through a tremendous battle, Help me walk through the Red Sea on dry ground. I had to have faith to do that because there was water on either side of me. There was a whole cloud full of water behind me, above me. There were dead guys floating in the water all the way around us. And it was a freaky thing to look at, but I had to have enough faith to keep on walking and not lose my mind. And I did it. And I came up to the other side and I made a covenant with God to be one of His children. And I promised to keep His commandments. But I had to show my faith first by walking through that Red Sea on dry ground and not losing my mind. I also had to have faith when our church first came down from Illinois and crossed that frozen, slushy covered river. Not just the first guy that went across, but the guy in the middle and the last guy to come across, because each one of them had to have the same amount of faith to cross the river. They had fear, but they controlled their fear and they practiced their faith and they went ahead and crossed. Each one of them. And there was the same amount of dread in their hearts that possibly God might not be happy with me today, and I might be the one that's going to go through, but I'm going to go ahead and go anyway and hope for something that I can't see, that He's going to be happy with me this day and I will make it across with my family. Nineteenth verse. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Just because you believe in God doesn't mean that you have faith. The devils believe in God, but they don't have any faith in Him. They had faith in Satan. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You want to be called the friend of God? Then exercise your faith like Abraham did, and keep His commandments, and God will walk with you daily, and He'll talk to you like Abraham. And you can be called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers, and had sent them out another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. You've got to not just say it, you've got to show it, that you have faith. So tonight when you came here to listen to me preach, and you were having faith that I was going to preach the Word of God unto you, you were showing to the rest of the world and to the rest of your family that you have faith through your works, through your actions. Just by doing that, it wasn't that hard. And you didn't have to have that much faith to do it. Just a little bit. Grain of a mustard seed. Let's go back to Ether. So these two books that we have are just completely full of testimonies of people that have faith. And what they did, their works that showed that they had this faith. But let's go back to the book of Ether, the fifth chapter, and start right there at the seventh verse, right where we left off. Excuse me. Wherefore dispute not because ye see not, for ye receive no witness until after the trial of your faith. So don't argue with God about this faith thing. Just do it. Just try it. And once you try it, then you're going to get the witness or the testimony that, yes, your faith works. For it was by faith that Christ shewed himself unto our fathers after that he had risen from the dead. And he shewed himself not unto them until after they had faith in him. Wherefore it must needs be that some had faith in him, for he shewed himself not unto the world. But because of the faith of men, he has shewn himself unto the world and glorified the name of the Father and prepared a way that thereby others might be partakers of the heavenly gift, that they might hope for those things which they have not seen. Wherefore, ye may also have hope and be partakers of the gift, if ye will but have faith. It's very simple. We can have it too. All we got to do is practice it. And once you start practicing your faith, it grows stronger and stronger and stronger, because God keeps doing all of these things that you've asked him to do if you ask in faith, believing for that which is right. Something that he wants done, not just that you want done. One time in the teenager's class downstairs, Dan and I were trying to explain to the kids about how God answers prayers and what kind of prayers he will answer. And so they wanted to know is, well, if God answers our prayers, if we have enough faith, what if I prayed for a brand new shiny red convertible Mustang? And I believe that he would give it to me. Am I going to get one? Well, you got to ask for something that's right. Okay, you can't afford the taxes on a brand new shiny red convertible Mustang, so you're not going to get one. And if you can, your parents probably don't want you to have it, so no. He's not going to give you a Mustang. It's got to be for something that's right. Behold, it was by faith that they of old were called after the holy order of God. Wherefore, by faith was the law of Moses given. But in the gift of his Son, God hath prepared a more excellent way. And it is by faith that it hath been fulfilled. For if there be no faith among the children of men, God can do no miracle among them. Wherefore he shewed not himself until after their faith. Behold, it was the faith of Alma and Amulek that caused the prison to tumble to the earth. Behold, it was the faith of Nephi and Lehi that wrought the change upon the Lamanites, that they were baptized with fire and with the Holy Ghost. Behold, it was the faith of Ammon and his brethren which wrought so great a miracle among the Lamanites. Yea, and even all they which wrought miracles wrought them by faith, even those which were before Christ and also them which were after. We're part of the after. And yes, at times we do have as much faith as Alma and Amulek and all the rest. And it was by faith that the three disciples obtained a promise that they should not taste of death. And they obtained not the promise until after their faith. And neither at any time hath any wrought miracles until after their faith. Wherefore they first believed in the Son of God. And there were many whose faith was so exceeding strong even before Christ came, which could not be kept from within the veil, but truly saw with their eyes the things which they had beheld with an eye of faith, and they were glad. And behold, we have seen in this record that one of these was the brother of Jared. For so great was his faith in God, that when God put forth his finger, he could not hide it from the sight of the brother of Jared, because of his word which he had spoken unto him, which word he had obtained by faith. And after that the brother of Jared had beheld the finger of the Lord, because of the promise which the brother of Jared had obtained by faith, the Lord could not withhold anything from his sight. Wherefore he shewed him all things, for he could no longer be kept without the veil. And it is by faith that my fathers have obtained the promise that these things should come unto their brethren through the Gentiles. Therefore the Lord hath commanded me, yea, even Jesus Christ. And I said unto him, Lord, the Gentiles will mock at these things because of our weakness in writing. For Lord, thou hast made us mighty in word by faith, whereunto thou hast not made us mighty in writing. For thou hast made all this people that they could speak much because of the Holy Ghost which thou hast given them. And thou hast made us that we could write but little because of the awkwardness of our hands. Behold, thou hast not made us mighty in writing like unto the brother of Jared. For thou madest him that the things which he wrote were mighty even as thou art, unto the overpowering of man to read them. Thou hast also made our words powerful and great, even that we cannot write them. Wherefore, when we write, we behold our weakness and stumble because of the placing of our words. And I fear lest the Gentiles shall mock at our words. And when I had said this, the Lord spake unto me, saying, Fools mock, but they shall mourn. And my grace is sufficient for the meek, that they shall take no advantage of your weakness. And if men come unto me, I will shew unto them their weakness. I give unto men weakness that they may be humble. And my grace is sufficient for all men that humble themselves before me. For if they humble themselves before me and have faith in me, then will I make weak things become strong unto them. You think those 2,060 young Nephite soldiers that had never fought in a battle, you think that they were strong soldiers? No. But they were humble and they had faith. And God made them strong soldiers. That would scare any modern day soldier now to death if they had to fight them in battle. Behold, I will shew unto the Gentiles their weakness, and I will shew unto them that faith, hope, and charity bringeth unto me the fountain of all righteousness. And I, Moroni, having heard these words, was comforted and said, O Lord, thy righteous will be done. For I know that thou workest unto the children of men according to their faith. For the brother of Jared said unto the mountain Zaran, Remove, and it was removed. Now how much faith did Jesus Christ say you had to have to be able to remove a mountain? A mustard seed's worth. Not a wheelbarrow full or a bucket full, but just a mustard seed's worth. And if he had not faith, it would not have moved. Wherefore thou workest after that men have faith. For thus did thou manifest thyself unto thy disciples. For after that they had faith and did speak in thy name, thou didst shew thyself unto them in great power. And I also remember that thou hast said that thou hast prepared a house for man. Yea, even among the mansions of thy Father, in the which man might have a more excellent hope. Wherefore man must hope, or he cannot receive an inheritance in the place which thou hast prepared. Well, there's a little promise in there. There's a place that's great that we get to go to if we have this hope, if we have this faith, if we show our works through our faith, if we exercise this and make it strong. And again, I remember that thou hast said that thou hast loved the world, even unto the laying down of thy life for the world, that thou mightest take it again to prepare a place for the children of men. And now I know that this love which thou hast had for the children of men is charity. Wherefore, except men shall have charity, they cannot inherit that place which thou hast prepared in the mansions of thy Father. Well, how do you get this charity that he's talking about now? You've got your faith. You've got your hope. How do you get the charity? Well, to get the charity, you have to repent of all your sins and be baptized and receive the laying on of hands, and have the laying on of hands to receive the Holy Ghost. And then you get that love of Jesus Christ, that pure love of Jesus Christ that's called charity. So you got to have faith, hope, and charity. You got to repent of your sins. You got to keep God's commandments. And you got to show unto the world that you really believe it. By exercising your faith in something that you can't see. Because you want to go live in a place that's great that you can't see after you're dead. Sounds crazy. Maybe that's why we're said that we're supposed to be called a peculiar people. Wherefore I know by this thing which thou hast said that if the Gentiles have not charity because of our weakness, that thou wilt prove them and take away their talent. Yea, even that which they have received, and give unto them which shall have more abundantly. And it came to pass that I prayed unto the Lord that he would give unto the Gentiles grace, that they might have charity. And it came to pass that the Lord said unto me, If they have not charity, it mattereth not unto thee. Thou hast been faithful, wherefore thy garments shall be made clean. And because thou hast seen thy weakness, thou shalt be made strong, even unto the sitting down in the place which I have prepared in the mansions of my Father. I believe him. I believe what he said here. I don't care if it sounds like it was written wrong or if the scholars can tear it apart and put it back together a different way and make it sound better. I believe what he said. And I know you do too, otherwise you wouldn't be here tonight. So I know you have faith. Now, I don't know if any of you have ever seen a mustard seed. Some of you have, some of you haven't. But let's open our hymnals to number 174, and we're going to sing this song. And when you open up your hymnals, you're going to find a little bag in there. And there's going to be two mustard seeds in the bag. Now, in the bag is twice as much faith as you need to have. So when you look at those two little tiny things, and you might not even be able to see them, it's not a lot of faith. It's small. It's hardly nothing. All you got to do is believe and say, God, help me with this problem. That's exercising the faith. God, move that mountain out of the way. Same thing. It will be done if it's right in the eyes of God and you're sincere. So if you would, can we sing hymn number 174? And remember, while we're singing this hymn, that we're singing to God and that we're asking Him to give us this faith that Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses and Lehi and Nephi and Alma and Amulek and Ether and Joshua and Caleb and Granville Hendrick had. So can we sing that song? And if you want to stay seated, that's fine. Thank you. Thank you very much. I know you have faith. I've heard it in your testimonies. I've heard it in your prayers. I've seen it in your actions. God knows that you have faith because He's seen it and heard it too. So don't be discouraged. Don't think that your faith isn't strong enough or that it's not big enough for God to do the things that He has promised. Because He has answered your prayers in the past. And He will continue to answer your prayers in the future. Because you do have this faith. You can't see it because it's really small. Because that's all it takes is a really small part. But you have it. And it shows. I thank you for showing it to me. Because without your faith, there's no way that I would have made it this far. Without your testimonies, I wouldn't be up here. Without you showing me that it's true, I wouldn't have made it. So I thank you. I thank you for coming tonight.